All right, let's take our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 6. Just a reminder, anyone who is planning on helping out in Awana, they are having the training today and next Wednesday. So if you are planning on doing that, you can make your way over there. They're having the training tonight in the science room, which is room 304. God is blessed. It's been a good first few days of school, first week. However, if during the message tonight I yell, pay attention or something like that, don't hold it against me. Hopefully I won't shush you. You laugh, but I actually did that once at a staff meeting. We were getting ready to start the staff meeting, and I shushed, and I started to go on, and I stopped, and I turned around, and I said, did I just shush you? And they all went, mm-hmm. I'm like, it's when you know it's time for a couple of days off. So hopefully we won't have any of that. It has been a good week, and the Lord has really blessed. Everything has gone, you know, not flawlessly, but it's gone well, and whatever minor situations we've had, God has helped us take care of them. Matthew chapter number 6. I'm going to start reading in verse 19, verses that are familiar to most of us. We're going to talk about our undivided attention, You know, God wants our undivided attention. He wants our undivided attention in more ways than just listening. He wants our undivided attention in every area of our life. And these passages of Scripture that we're about to read specifically address this. And, you know, one of the greatest struggles for the Christian is giving God our undivided attention. So let's look in Matthew chapter number 6. We'll start reading in verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You know, very pointed instructions and warnings from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's addressing several things here because he realizes, hey, listen, there are things that are going to grab and rob our attention. There are things that are going to take our attention away from the Lord. And we need to be careful as Christians. We need to be so careful that the Lord has our undivided attention, because as we're going to see in a few moments, it can't be any other way. It shouldn't be any other way. And if it is, the other side of that coin is a dangerous one, and one where God has really no attention. God doesn't have any of our attention. He talks about it in verse 19 and in verse 20. He says, lay not up for yourselves in verse 19. And he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That phrase lay up means to gather, to heap up, to store up. It really means to accumulate riches. It means to increase either the bitterness or the happiness of one's consequent lot. And you know, we oftentimes, when you read that, lay not up for yourselves, it's talking about continuing to accumulate and build and build and build and build and build. And I think we often spend much time in the building process, and the problem is we're using the wrong foundation that we're building upon. We need to make sure that the things that we're building are things that matter, are things that count, are things that will go beyond this life and for all eternity. So let's look at a few things from these passages of Scripture, because as we go through these passages of Scripture, you're going to see the Lord uses three different things that he uses as comparisons here. Three different things. And I believe there are three very poignant things that he wants us to pay attention to. The first thing is the sure foundation. It's the sure foundation. Verse 19, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. And then in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So we're talking about two treasures here. He's talking about two treasures. The first one is earthly treasures. He's talking about earthly treasures in verse 19. And you know, oftentimes, these are the things that rob our attention. These are the things that grab our heart. These are the things that accumulate and consume our time is earthly treasures. And we don't often see it, but you know, we desire everything this life has to offer. We desire to grab everything that this world can offer us. And you know what the reality is? This world really has nothing to offer us. But there are many things that we can be doing for the Lord, many things we could be doing for the glory of God, many things we could be doing for the kingdom of heaven that we don't do and we neglect or we put other things in its place. Let's look at a couple of things first in regard to earthly treasures, in regard to earthly treasures. The first thing is earthly treasures can never, ever satisfy, can never, ever satisfy. Look over in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Earthly treasures can never ever satisfy. You get some and then you want more. And then you get that more that you longed for, and what happens? You want more. You know, if you get the latest iPhone and 2 months later a newer one comes out, what do you want? You want the newer one because yours is no longer any good. It was good yesterday until the new one came out. And that's the way sometimes our heart goes, and we want more. We're never satisfied because earthly treasures never can satisfy. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse number 10, it says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he beggeth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. Wow. Very, very clear warning from Solomon. He says, listen, you have a lot and you desire more. And, you know, the sleep of someone who's never satisfied just doesn't seem to come because there's always worry and anxiety and stress over wanting more. What can I do to get more? And wait a minute, what do you mean so-and-so has more than me? And our hearts are all wrapped around earthly treasures that never, ever can satisfy. We need to be careful that our focus, you know, the Lord uses this firstly. He says, hey, earthly treasures, they don't satisfy. The other thing is they can't save you. People put their trust in their salvation on things, on, you know, how much money. Listen, people think that the more good you do, the better chance you have of getting to heaven. That is one of the greatest lies of the devil, because it gives people a false sense of security. I was talking to someone today, and we were talking about this, and he was telling me how he's had opportunity to witness to atheists. And he says, you know, atheists are actually easier to witness to. And he said, because they have really nothing. They're what they believe is all based on an obvious lie, and you could just kind of talk them through it. He said, the most dangerous people are the ones who believe they're saved. They think they're saved. Their salvation is based on something that really is a lie. And riches is one of those things. Our good works, Proverbs chapter 11 and in verse number 4, tells us riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Listen, all the riches in the world will matter nothing when we stand before the Lord. One thing is going to matter. One thing is going to stand. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you placed your faith and trust completely and wholly in Him? Riches, earthly treasures can't save you. You can't keep earthly treasures. You can't keep them. We accumulate and accumulate and accumulate, and guess what? One day, when the Lord calls us home, guess what's not coming with us? All those things. In Luke chapter number 12, and in verse number 21, let's read in verse 20. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus says he's a fool because he's accumulating all these things, and instead of worrying about treasures for God and things that we have that have eternal rewards, we're focused on things that we are trying to accumulate in this life and don't matter one iota. You know, the things that we do for the Lord, the witnessing, the teaching a Sunday school class, the sharing the gospel message, you know, the things we do with the right heart and the humble spirit and that we do for Jesus Christ, those things will last forever. But the things that we accumulate, that we can't keep them. They're not going anywhere with us. So you can't keep them. And you know what else they do? They turn our hearts from God. Look over in Job chapter 31. When our heart is so focused on all the things that this world has to offer, it grabs our heart, it grabs our attention, and it takes our focus off of the Lord. In Job chapter number 31, we're going to start reading in verse number 24. Job 31, look at what Job says. And Job, remember, Job was blessed by God. Here's what he says in verse 24. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to thee, fine gold, thou art my confidence. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because mine hand had gotten much. If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth has kissed my hand. This also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. You know what he's saying? When our trust is in gold and riches and our hope is in things, material things, you know what it is? It's a reproach against God because we've put our hope in something that can't save us instead of turning to the true and living God. And many, many people have their hearts turned away from God because they fall in love with the riches of this world. Riches that can't save, that can't satisfy, that we can't keep, and that will turn our hearts away from God. I mean, you talk to people all the time, and you listen to them, and what do they say? What do they tell you? Oh, you know, they are very confident in who they are because of the riches and the wealth that they have. And they will look down on people. The people, you know, listen, money talks in this life. But see, this life is temporal. It's just for a short time. Our focus as a child of God needs to be on the things that are eternal, the things that last forever. These things, all this stuff, like the Lord said in Luke, it perishes with thee. So we need to focus on not earthly treasures, but point B, heavenly treasures. Heavenly treasures. Back in Matthew, in chapter 6, he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You know, the rewards that we have waiting for us in heaven, no one can take those away from you. One day we can be rich, stock market crashes, lose everything. The things that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ can never be taken away from us. You know, that soul that you had the privilege of leading to the Lord, that can never be taken away. You know, that young child that you taught in Sunday school, that can never be taken away from you. And you know, there are so many ministries and so many people that have invested so much time, and those things will never be taken away. The things in this life, they come, they go. But the things we do for the Lord are forever. And that's the first point. They last for all eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The things that we do for the Lord last for all eternity. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, the things we do for the Lord, and maybe, you know, people don't see it. The world doesn't understand it. And when you sacrifice your time and your life and you give everything to the Lord, people look at you and go, what a waste of a life. And I think to myself, what an investment. Don't let this world convince you that the time and the sacrifice you make for Jesus Christ is worthless, because it isn't. Okay, because what you're doing is for all eternity. One soul. If the heavens and the angels rejoice over one soul, how precious do you think that is? Greater than all the rubies and all the gems and all the emeralds and all the money this world could ever, ever offer. Paul himself said that he would rather be accursed and that the people would be saved, that they would hear the message. That was his desire, that Israel would be saved. Why? Because he understood the preciousness of salvation. And we sometimes try and put values on things. Listen, you can never put a value. It, to me, it is beyond our comprehension what one soul is worth. What wouldn't we do to see one person saved? Is there someone in our family that we've been praying for over and over and over again? Wouldn't you give just about anything, or wouldn't you give anything to see that person come to Christ? Amen. That determines the value. The things of this life, you know, would you give everything to see that one person come to Christ? We would. So the things in this world, they have no value, but the things we do for Christ, they're for all eternity. We need to realize that all the blessings that we get, those, you know, when we strive for heavenly treasures, do you realize we're blessed of God? Look at Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter number 19. You know, as our hearts are turned, sometimes it's kind of a funny thing, because sometimes people think, well, you know, if we're going to serve the Lord, we need to be miserable and poor and destitute and have nothing and, you know, one pair of shoes and a pair of pants and a shirt, we're good to go. Hey, that's not reality. God blesses us abundantly. Now, God blesses according to his riches, and he blesses people in different ways, and that's perfectly okay. There's nothing wrong with God blessing you. Look in verse 21 of Matthew 19. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, forget the things in this life, focus on the things of heaven, and you'll be abundantly blessed. When you have the opportunity to be a blessing to someone, and God gives you the privilege of either being a blessing to someone or having the opportunity to privilege to lead someone to the Lord, the blessing in that alone is beyond anything I can explain. You know, God has allowed me to minister here as the principal. And, you know, I've shared with you before, you know, when I left my old job, people used to say to me all the time, where'd you go to school? A principal? You? And I kind of chuckled. I was like, yeah, that's kind of my reaction. I didn't say that, though. Because you can't explain to people that, listen, excuse me, if God so directs you, he'll empower you. And there's times when I look around, okay, Lord, it's time for a little empowering. I think they're about to knock my door down, Lord. But the truth of the matter is, the blessings of day in and day out, okay, how do you put a value when you walk down the hall and you hear 4 or 5-year-olds singing songs of praise to God? Do you put a value on that? When a student who came to the school because the public schools were too bad and they hear the gospel message and they get saved, can you put a value on that? When they go home and tell their mom and dad what happened and mom and dad comes in and gets saved, can you put a value on that? And you say, well, that doesn't happen. Let me tell you something. It happened last year. It's happened in the past. And I believe God's going to continue to do it. Listen, those are blessings. Oftentimes, we equate blessings with things we can see and touch, and God says, listen, I'm blessing you abundantly. You can't put a value on that. I walk down the hall sometimes, and I think to myself, wow, this is awesome. Now, when the phone rings, that's a different story. I haven't yet tried to hide under my desk, so things are still good. But seriously, it is a blessing, okay, to hear people who, hey, listen, some of these kids come from difficult situations, but they, you know what? They hear, they learn the Bible. They hear the message preached once a week in chapel. They get taught Bible class for 1 hour. The younger kids get Bible every day. The other kids get it an hour three times a week on top of chapel. It's part of the curriculum that we teach. They're learning about the Lord. And they're starting to ask questions. Do you know what a blessing it is to walk around and see teachers discipling students? Students who 2 months before didn't even know the Lord, got saved, and now want to know more. That's exciting. Blessings from God. When we put our focus on heavenly treasures, God blesses us in ways we could never imagine. Look at Proverbs 11:28. Proverbs 11:28. Proverbs 11:28 says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. You know, when we put our focus on heavenly treasures, it helps us grow in our walk with the Lord. It helps us grow. We grow in our walk with the Lord. When our faith is placed and our eyes are focused on heavenly treasures, look what it says. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. But look what happens. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. And if you think about when Jesus was talking about abide in me and I in you. And then he goes on to say how you will bring forth much fruit. You know, as we abide in Christ, as we do his will, as we live for him, as our eyes are focused and seeking the same things that he desires, heavenly treasures, we flourish. That branch that blooms and that flowers. Why? Because we're abiding in Christ and our will is lining up with God's will and our desires are lining up with God's desires. And you know what? God is pleased and he blesses. Jack, what did I put up at the last point? I didn't put it here. Heavenly treasures are the only things that matter. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Why are heavenly treasures the only things that really matter? Well, because verse 7 says, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Now, listen, I know there's things we need in order to survive and to live, and that's not what I'm talking about. We're going to address that in a second, but understand, it's not... I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but it's not the things that God blesses us with. It's not the money. It's not the material things that God blesses us with. It's what happens to our heart and our attitude towards those things. If we look at those things as blessings from God and we use them for his glory, that's a good thing. If we look at those things as look at the work of my hand and our heart's desire is to accumulate more and more, we've taken our focus off God and put it on ourselves. And now, instead of thanking God and being thankful for what God has blessed us with, we've now made the very things that God has blessed us with have become the idols in our life. And that can happen very quickly. We need to be careful. So Jesus here compares earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. Materialism, we got to be careful. Number two. The sure foundation, the single focus. Now he uses a different comparison. Light and darkness. Light and darkness. Look over back in Matthew in verse 22. He says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. The first thing he talks about here is the light. He used a comparison of heavenly treasures and earthly treasures. Now he's using the comparison of light and darkness. The word single there, he says, if thy eye be single, that word means sound, good, whole, fulfilling its office. In other words, the eye is doing what it was intended to do. God did not intend for us to be looking at things and allowing things through our eyes that would defile us. He wants us to allow things into our life through the eyes that would make us light. The Bible says that we are the light of the world. So in that passage back in Matthew that we just read, through the eyes is how we become light. Look in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 in verse 21. It says, chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, back in Matthew, Jesus had said, he had just finished doing the comparison of the earthly things and the heavenly things. And then he says in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what he's saying is, depending on whether you go in earthly treasures or heavenly treasures, that's where your heart's going to go. And now he compares the light and the darkness and uses the eyes. And we just read in Proverbs that we need to keep the word of God before our eyes. And then he says, keep thy heart with all diligence. The things that we put before our eyes greatly affect our heart. And we need to be very careful because the eye is a gateway into our heart. We need to guard our eyes. I know, listen, we live in a wicked world and it's very hard at times to avoid things, okay? But we need to be diligent in the things that we put before our eyes, in the things that we put before our children's eyes. You know, we're very careful in the school. We have a lot of rules and guidelines about things that we allow the kids to wear or carry on their book bags or wear on their t-shirts. I had a new student who asked me, they said, am I allowed to have pictures in my locker? And I said, well, that depends. I said, if you're talking about a picture of like a flower or a cat, that's fine. And they said something else. I can't remember what they said. I don't know if they said a picture of a snake or something like that. And I said, well, no. And they kind of looked at me a little funny. The mom was there, and she said, well, that's the rules. And I said, listen, I said, the reason we do that is in and of itself, the snake picture may be perfectly fine. I said, but the next person may want something else. And the next person may want something worse. And the next person may want something worse. And we don't want to take any chance that we're going to put something before someone that could cause them to stumble. We need to be so diligent. And I know sometimes people think we're crazy. Well, you know, we don't want people wearing stuff with logos and stuff like that. Why? Well, because some of these companies, to be truthfully honest, are very immoral and they're very worldly, okay? And, you know, we don't want the kids representing something that we as a church or as Christians think is wrong. I don't want to be the judge of everybody. Everybody has to make their own decisions. But we're trying to help the students, okay, to live a life where they don't put things before their eyes or ideas. I don't want another student who's never seen a particular logo say, hey, what is that? I've never seen that before. What does that mean? Or what? Listen, we're trying to do everything we can to guard their eyes. Why? Because through the eyes, that's a gateway to the heart. And the Bible says, keep thy heart, what? With all diligence. Because out of it are what? The issues of life. In verse 22 of Matthew 6, he says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, that means if your eye be whole, if your eye is doing what it's supposed to do, look what he says, thy whole body shall be full of light. Isn't that what we want to be as Christians? Light. What passes through our eyes affects the whole body, every part of it. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 14, we're commanded to be the light of the world. He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Then he goes on to say, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Jesus commands us to be a light. He doesn't want us to hide that light. He wants that light to shine brightly. But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Our light impacts others. You know, the things that we allow to come through our eyes affect our whole body. And guess what happens then? It affects those around us. Listen, when you are standing in a dark room and you light a candle, that light illuminates the room. If you are the light, if we are the light that Christ has commanded us to be, you know that light impacts others around us? I love being around people who encourage you to press on for the Lord. I was talking to someone today, and we were, you know, talking about different things, and he said to me, he says, hey, we just keep pressing on. We just keep pressing on. And that's what we're supposed to do. Encourage each other to press on. Not to say, yeah, you know, you're right. Sometimes things get tough. You just need to step away. No, press on. I want people who are going to encourage me. And when you're a light, listen, when times are bad and you're feeling a little down, I want that light to come around me. But we also can be that light. Because Jesus says, hey, if thy eye be single, the whole body is affected. The whole body is light. But there is a warning. There is a warning in verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And that's point B, is the darkness. You know, he's using two comparisons: earthly treasures, heavenly treasures, light, darkness. That term, if thine eye be evil, you may have heard that term, evil eye. Well, at that time, that term was used to denote someone who was either envious or covetous. Back in those times, that term was used, having an eye that was evil or an evil eye, was used to denote someone who was covetous or someone who was envious. Well, if you think about the context that Christ is speaking this, doesn't it all line up? Again, it's the treasure. It's, you know, where is our heart? If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? When you have light, it says you're single. Now, I want you to think about this. If we are to be single-minded, that equals light. If thine eye be single or whole, that equals light. But if we're going to be double-minded, that's evil, and that equals darkness. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if you're double-minded, if, you know, we want the things of this world, but we also want the things that the Lord has to offer, and we're going to talk about that in a second. If you're trying to go both ways, if you're trying to play both sides of the fence, it never, ever works. It never works. Well, yeah, but I want the blessings of God, but, you know, I have to work. I have to, you know, go after these things. These things aren't just going to be handed to me. It's interesting because if you look at towards the end of this chapter, and it's a verse we're familiar with, look what Christ said in verse 33. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know what he's doing? He's saying, put your priorities in order. God does not want to, quote unquote, do us out of things or keep things from us that are good for us. Now, he will try and keep things from us that are bad for us, although we at times fight against that. But look what he says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then what does he say? And his righteousness. And what? All these things shall be added unto you. You know what he's saying? Get your priorities in order and the blessings will come. I will bless you. I will take care of you. I will provide for you. But first, seek the kingdom of God. And what we want to do is, no, I want to seek the kingdom of God, and I want to seek the riches of this world. I want to be light. I really want to be light, but I still want my heart over here. I don't want to leave these things. And this is what happens. And what is that? Double-minded. And it never, ever works. What is our eye directed towards? Is our eye towards heaven or is it towards the earthly things? Is our eye putting, are we putting the Word of God before our eyes and letting the Word of God dwell richly within us and change our heart? Or are we allowing other things in our life? And is our body, whole body, darkness? And look at he says, how great is that darkness? Wow. So you have the sure foundation, the comparison, earthly treasures and heavenly treasures, a single focus where he compares the light and the darkness. And finally, it's the full surrender. The full surrender. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Now you have the comparison of the two masters and where our heart is. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The first thing I see here is the unsolvable conflict. What is the unsolvable conflict? It's that very first line there. No man can serve two masters. He doesn't ask a question. He doesn't say, can a man serve two masters? He says, no man can serve two masters. This right here is the big problem. Because we want, listen, I believe that most Christians, the majority of Christians want to serve God. They love God. They want to see God do great things in their life. They desire to do things for God, but don't want to let these things go. I've shared with you before before I got saved, that's the thing that held me back. I don't want to let those things go. I love those things. I love my friends. I love the parties. I love all that stuff. I love my music. I love all that. I'm going to have no life. Just going to sit there, meditate or something, and go, That's what they do, right? Boring life. Can I tell you? This is exciting. This is awesome. God has allowed me to do more things since I've been saved than I ever could have envisioned, beyond my wildest comprehension, and he could do the same for you. But not if we're fighting with two masters. You cannot, listen, you cannot serve two masters. It's like the picture of if you have a slave, okay? You have a man who's in slavery. He can't serve two masters. Paul calls himself a bond servant. We cannot serve two masters. Why? Because first, they have different objectives. Listen, this world has a completely different objective than the kingdom of God. Then God Almighty, listen, God's will for your life does not line up with what this world wants for your life. They're completely diametrically opposed to each other. Not only do they have different objectives, they have different outlooks. The world says, hey, live for the here and now. God says, look to eternity. This world says, hey, you do everything you can to get to the top. God says, serve man. Minister to people. Love God. This world says, love yourself. Take care of yourself. Nobody else is going to do it. God says, look to me and I'll take care of you. Different means, different methods. I used to always laugh working at my old job. People used to say, Mike, you got to go out there and get it. You got to climb up that ladder and step on whoever you got to get to because nobody's going to hand it to you. Somebody said to me, be careful who you step on going on the way up because the same people you're going to meet on the way down. Not very scriptural, but very true. But the reality of it is that's how the world thinks. God says, be faithful. Be faithful. Listen, when you have two masters that are completely opposite like that, there's no way you can serve both of them because they're completely opposite in every way. So you say, well, wait a minute. No, there has to be a way. I can get the things and you can't. Because when you start searching, as we saw, the things of this world, the earthly treasures, they go against everything that God desires for us. And it grabs our heart away from the things that God desires. It's an unsolvable conflict. For years, hundreds of years, people have been trying to figure out a way to say, wait a minute, I know Christ said that, but there has to be a way. And Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. So the question is, who are we going to serve? Who do you belong to? Do you belong to the King of Kings? Or do we belong to the things of this world? We belong to one of them. You can't have it both ways. Who do we belong to? So that's the unsolvable conflict. Letter B is being all in. Hey, listen. If we decide that, okay, I'm going to serve the King of Kings, that means we got to be all in. That means we give God everything. We don't hold anything back. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you." What does he say? Serve God with all your heart. If you're going to be all in, you give God everything. Don't hold anything back. Because if we do, if we hold something back because we still want, then we're serving two masters. But if we're going to decide, I want to serve the King of Kings. I want to be a child of God. I want to be a Christian in every way, shape, or form, not just in word. Then you give God everything. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're just about done. Hebrews 10:34. The Bible says, "For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." You know what happened? The people that were ministering to Paul and the other disciples along the way, they realized, listen, we gave everything we had to these men to see the work of God go on. They sacrificed. You know what he says? He's saying, because they realized that they have greater treasures waiting for them in heaven. When we give God everything, we're not losing, we're winning. When we give God everything, we haven't lost, we've won. Because now he can start to do great things in you. As long as we're holding back, God doesn't have all of us. But the minute we say, "God, I'm all yours. I'm all in, God." Ask yourself these questions. What is before your God? Is there anything that's before God? It's an idol. What is it that you want? What is it that your heart desires more than anything in this world? If it's not God, it's an idol. What is it your mind is constantly thinking about? If it's not God, it's an idol. What has your affections? If it's God, praise the Lord, then he's got all of you. But if it isn't, be careful, because it could be an idol. So we need to be all in. And if we're not all in, then we're not in at all. There's no way around it. I mean, it'd be nice to maybe sugarcoat it and say it a little bit nicer, but there really is no way. Jesus Christ said, no man can serve two masters. And not only does he say you can't serve two masters, but he goes on to say, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Then he says it again, you cannot serve God and mammon. Almost as if to say, you need to make a choice. You need to make a choice. One more verse and then I'm finished. Luke chapter 12. God wants all of us. But if he's not going to have all of us, if we're not all in, then we're not in at all. In Luke chapter 12 and in verse 33, Jesus says, "Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth it, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know what he's saying? Forget all these things. I'll take care of you. And he's not saying you have to go out and sell every single thing you own, but are we willing? Are those things secondary to the Lord? The greatest gifts and rewards that await us are in heaven. I'm looking forward to the day that those people that we know, we had an impact and we had the privilege of leading them to the Lord, we're going to see them again. We are. I think I'm as excited, if not more excited, to see. Because I was just talking to someone today, and he was telling me that you know, he's been trying to witness to different people. And he goes, yeah, I don't know if I had an impact. I never saw the guy again. I said, but wouldn't it be great to know if one day you get to heaven and you see him? You know, we think that, well, I gave that gas station attendant a track. I don't know if he read it or not. First time I ever got a track handed to me. I shouldn't say that. The first 35 times I got a track handed to me, I threw it in my desk. And there they piled up. It was quite a substantial pile. But can I tell you that it was one of those tracks that changed my life? One of them. Well, I don't know. He's not going to read it. He's just throwing it. They just end up in the garbage. You let God worry about that. You just be obedient. Does God have all of us? Or are we still holding back? Does God have our undivided attention? Amen. I pray that's been a blessing.